The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. You must be 21 or older. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts hears "Go Pack, Go!" and takes off. That's Lenny. I'm Mina Kimes. I'm the leader of our pack. Lenny thinks he's the leader of our pack. Dominique, you might be the leader of this pack. Welcome back to the show.
I was wondering what Lenny's pack consisted of, but it's just humans and Lenny. He doesn't have like a dog crew.
If he's at the dog boarding, he has a dog crew. And I do think Well, I think he's the leader because when I pick him up, they tell me he is. But I wonder if they tell every dog's owner that, because nobody wants to hear, "Oh yeah, your dog was a real beta today, as usual. He just kind of fell in line, let some other dogs hump him." Dominique Foxworth, host of the Dominique Foxworth Show. You can find him on Debatable all over, including this show on Tuesdays. We're going to jump into Monday Night Football, but I actually want to ask you a question first that we were discussing before you arrived, which is, who is your favorite fan base? Not the best, not the loud, or whatever. Because mine is, I've been vocal about this before, I think the Falcons have the best fans in football.
Oh, wow. Well, I need an explanation for that, just because they stick through them despite the fact that the Falcons be falconing?
That, and I think they're so funny. They're kind of nihilistic in a way that I really enjoy. Even when they were winning earlier, you know, there's the worst fan bases are the ones that are delusional and like think they're good when they're not. I think they got a good core. The Falcons see crystal clear who they are. They're fans. I love them.
I think so. Like, funny is big. Much hate as we get online and stuff, and you much more than me, obviously. But I appreciate when people are funny with it. Like you said, "You suck. You are wrong. Say sorry for the way that you doubted." Like, that was such a waste of my time. It was so boring. Like, come with something that's creative. Yeah. So is there a fan base? Like, I feel like I'm not just like pandering, but I feel like the Seahawks fan base, or maybe it's just because I follow you and there's a lot of people in media that I follow that I'm like, yeah, that's good Seahawks takes. Is there a fan base that's like funny and fun and like gets the point?
I do think CX fans, at least on the internet, are pretty educated about, not to say other fan bases aren't, but they like, there's definitely a lot of pretty good analysis floating around.
It feels like Giants fans this year for the first time
I'm enjoying
ever,
them this year.
Are because they're it's like they're
no delusions.
They're acting like this is they're acting like this is found money.
Yes.
And that's how you should act.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I think that's the sweet spot that like we said about the Falcons, a team that's like kind of positive maybe because they're having a good time, a fan base, but that they're not delusional. So
Giants love fans. The Chargers fan base. All four of them. They're outstanding.
Oh, one of them is actually listening in on this show. All right. We're not talking about the Chargers this week. We are not talking about the Giants, at least this podcast. We are talking about some other teams. But first, we are going to talk about Monday Night Football. The unbeaten Eagles go down. Question at first take was, is it better that they lost? I was like, well, I mean, I think you could actually make an argument that you don't want the undefeated thing to be like an obsession. But it's also week 10. Like, they could still lose. And I think that was, maybe we'll start there, Dominique. That was kind of my big takeaway is, oh, right, this team is pretty fallible. Like, there were a lot of fluky stuff happened. There were bad calls or no calls. The turnovers we could talk about. But there were also just long stretches of the game where they did not look like a dominant football team. And I think that was, you know, everybody's vulnerable this year. But I think the Eagles is probably the most vulnerable they've ever looked.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm alone in this. I walked away not losing any confidence in the Eagles, feeling even more confident in Jalen Hurts. It felt like you kind of breezed past the like flukiness of of some of those turnovers and the missed calls and the bad calls. Like, all that stuff to me feels like this isn't college. Like, no matter how good your team is, you're not going to look dominant all the way through the whole season. I thought they played well enough to win on Monday night. They didn't win because of some like random fluky turnovers that weren't even like bad read interceptions. Jalen Hurts threw a perfect pass to A.J. Brown. He tipped it back up in air, got intercepted. Then he threw a perfect pass to Watkins. Yeah, and he got up and tried to get a few extra yards and fumbled it, and then there was the Goddard face mask pull and fumble. It just felt like there was, and all of that happened, and they still, if the Eagles would have gotten the ball back, you would have thought that Jalen Hurts was going to lead them to win, and there was a weird, it was the roughing the passer call that I thought was like very soft and a stupid way to end the game.
Yeah, that was dumb. It kind of also detracted from the insane lack of a face mask, like, which was the real crazy call. Like, is the roughing the passer, it was weak, but you could see the case for it, whatever. Yeah. But the face mask thing was insane. I think you're right. I also think, though, like, they had as many turnovers in this game, I think, that they have given up all season, I saw somewhere. Yeah. And really, it's a reminder that turnover luck is a thing, right? Like, it was going to regress at some point. And if anything, the Eagles, I agree with that. You know, this was a fluky game, and I still think the Eagles are a very good team. But also their dominance, you know, they did have a lot of things go their way in terms of scheduling, in terms of turnover luck. That's how you get to 8-0. You know, not that you're not a good team or whatever. I also think the Commanders are underrated, and that was something that probably, like, they're not a trash team, you know? Like, I would say, especially, like, I was really impressed. I knew they had a good run defense, which I thought might factor into this one. But the coverage was way better in this game than I've expected. The safety who made the turnover, Derek Forrest is the name, I think.
He recovered a fumble and he got an interception, right?
He's been playing well for them. Cam Curl's good. This was like Kendall Fuller's best game. He's not been good for them, to be honest. And so it was kind of impressive that I thought the defense played fairly well, despite the fact that the pass rush wasn't, as like, if you had told me, okay, the Commanders pull off the upset, I would have said they probably sacked Jalen Hurts a bunch. And really, it wasn't the case. It was just pretty stout, fundamentally sound coverage from beginning to end. I mean, obviously, they got beat for a couple deep balls, but they're like a decent defense right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're decent. They're in the NFL. It's a lot of, like, there's very few teams that are just out and out trash. Like, it's professional football players. When we get to the Wolves, maybe we land on a couple of those teams. But they're fine. They've had some wins recently. Yeah, like, they had, it felt like all the majority of the luck break their way, and they still probably should have lost that game. So I don't know. I'm alone in this feeling. I walk away from this feeling just as good about the Eagles as I had before. I was just saying that's because I'm still very, I'm slower than I want to be in accepting how good Jalen Hurts is. Like, my eyes keep telling me the truth, and week after week, my eyes tell me the truth, and I still go into these games like, but it's Jalen Hurts, and then he just cooks, and I just like, I gotta accept it. This dude's an MVP caliber quarterback. That's who he is right now. That's who he is, and we all need to lean in and appreciate it.
I think he's playing great football. So when I said earlier that, you know, there were some stretches where I was like, about the Eagles, I'm specifically referring to the first half when you saw something that you've seen with this team a lot, especially lately, which is the inability to stop the run. And I get that. That is my one concern. I've talked about this before. You know, it wasn't perfect even before Jordan Davis got hurt. But really, over the last 2 weeks, I just went to Next Gen Stats. They have the, you know, worst success rate in football running between the tackles, which is something you really saw on display yesterday. It felt like, you know, you're not wanting to look at yards per carry because you're wanting to look at success rate, because I guess I should explain to listeners, because, you know, you want to, success rate is basically like, okay, on first down, did you pick up 4 yards? On second down, like, it's, you know, a 1 yard run on third and one is a successful run, for example. So they really struggle. I would say not just the, it's all over on run defense, but it was pretty glaring, I thought, on the interior, how much push Washington got. And that's concerning because, you know, they also struggled to stop the run in the open field. And, you know, when you look ahead to their schedule, not just like they got the Titans, but when you look ahead to the potential playoff matches in the NFC, you're looking at Dallas, you're looking at San Francisco, you're looking at, I don't know, Seattle, whatever. Like, you're looking at teams that can run the football well. And Jalen Hurts only had the ball for like 6 minutes in the first half, Dominique. And so I guess that is my, like, I'm watching that. I'm thinking, when is this going to get fixed?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I guess there are no perfect teams.
Right.
And And if their weakness is going to be this run defense, which isn't like atrocious, like the EPA per play success rate in recent weeks, like those things are, I guess EPA per play over the season isn't that bad, which makes me feel a little better. And if they're giving up big over the top passes, I'd be more concerned.
Yeah.
So I think
if you're going to choose a
no
weakness,
team's going to be perfect. Yeah.
Run defense this is the weakness. One of the
yeah,
four.
It's the one.
Yeah.
Especially because they're not like getting gashed. It's like they're giving up 5 to 7 yards occasionally, and that.
Yeah.
I mean that's tough, but like who's going to be able to sustain a
Niners,
drive based
the
on
the Cowboys? I know. I'm just saying. Like I'm picking nits here because I still think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. I want to be clear, but for me, it's now as we look ahead to the playoffs and we are at that point in the year, it becomes like a matchup thing where I start to worry about. You know, the formula in this game, a lot of it is not going to happen again in terms of the turnovers. But, you know, Washington possessing the football for as long as they did and just kind of that death by 1,000 cuts, that is something I could see happening. And I have a question for you defensively. You know, Jonathan Gannon, who's their Eagles defensive coordinator, has been, I think, the subject of ire from Eagles fans for playing too soft. And they really waited till the second half to start really heating up Heinicke with blitzes. And they had a lot of success doing so. Do you feel like, I don't know, this defense should be playing more aggressively? Should they be blitzing more? Should they be playing more man coverage? Or do you feel like that the game plan was fine?
Yeah, I mean, I think having, if any team I can trust to have like a completely coherent game plan through offense, defense, and special teams, the Eagles are amongst those teams that feel like an organization that's going to be connected. So I'm not sure that being aggressive is what you want to do. So I remember beginning of the year, I projected as one of the teams that might come out of nowhere and have a good season was the Giants. In part because I said they didn't have a ton of talent on defense, but that's fine. Wink Martindale, when you don't have a bunch of talent, you want to do like high, like volatile type plays, a lot of aggressive blitzing. And when you do have talent, you don't need to do that. And so since they have so much talent offensively and defensively, I would err on the side of like caution unless you have to. And that's a good thing about having a veteran unit on the defensive side with a lot of talent. They do have the flexibility to lean on different parts of their team. They can blitz a bunch with their corners. If Maddox gets healthy, that'll be better. But with their starting corners and with how Gardner Johnson's playing, they're capable of doing that. But why? If you don't have to, I guess, is how I feel about it. And in last night's game, they still, like, the reason why they lost wasn't, at least to me, wasn't because they were running the ball on them. The reason why they lost was because they had these ridiculous turnover plays.
There were also, it's not just the run. I don't know why I'm like, I'm not really like trying to pick apart the Eagles here. I'm really trying to think ahead to the playoffs and thinking about like, okay, what does this team need to get fixed? I need to go back and watch all of the third downs, but it did feel like, so, you know, because the Commanders were running the ball well, they set up some pretty manageable third downs, but it felt like there were so many where, whether it was McLaurin or Samuel, receiver was running wide open underneath. And I do think there's a little bit vulnerable because of their style of play to crossing routes underneath, and you know, it's something to monitor. I still think, you know, fundamentally sound. I thought, by the way, when they did start blitzing more in the second half, it was a good adjustment, especially against Taylor Heinicke in particular. You're right, it really depends on who they're playing, but you know, I guess to put a bow on the Eagles side of things, I don't come out of this with like a radically different opinion. I just, you know, don't view them as dominant, but I don't think any team is dominant right now. It's just how the NFL is right now. I do want to acknowledge the Commanders a little bit because we're just kind of brushing over them. I assume they're going to stick with Heinicke at quarterback. He's fine. I don't want to do this.
We don't have to do it. He had a good win. It was nice. He's fine. They're decent. That's, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, he's better than Carson Wentz, or he's given them a better way to win than Carson Wentz. But arguing that he had a good game on Monday night. But if you look at that game and you look at the previous couple wins that they had, like, Taylor Heinicke wasn't out there cooking. His biggest plays was throwing praise.
Right. He had one really nice throw up the sideline. I forget if it was to, I think it was to Samuel. But for the most part, yeah, this is what we see from him generally, is like he's going to give the ball away a couple of times or try to. He can make plays with his legs. Maybe some reticence to play man versus him in that regard. I thought they just had a good game plan, honestly. Like, right. You know, in terms of they leaned very hard into the run. But also, I think the way to attack the Eagles is get the ball quickly underneath, try to attack the linebackers in coverage. Right. You know, I think as far as Washington goes going forward, I don't know. You just want to keep seeing, what do we have in our young players? Can Jamin Davis and, you know, obviously, you know, you have Terry McLaurin, but like, can we identify more building blocks on defense? They're going to have to make some decisions on the defensive line. I guess they get Chase Young back at some point, but I just don't view them as a playoff team.
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at the Eagles' run defense numbers when they have, when there is not a blocking disadvantage. So I guess more like a loaded box. They aren't good there either as far as success rate is concerned.
They were stacking the box against Washington a lot, made sense. It's like the only thing, you know. They're not good, man. But again, if you have to choose between, you know, passing offense, rushing offense, pass defense, run defense is the thing you would choose. Yeah. It is funny, though, like that also seems to be the Cowboys' fatal flaw right now.
Yeah.
I would say it's different, though. The Cowboys, I think, are more vulnerable to off-tackle runs, whereas I think the Eagles, you could just run it up the gut. I do think they'll get Jordan Davis back fairly
That'll
soon.
That'll change a little bit.
It helps, but it's not,
I mean,
just...
the numbers suggest that it's a big difference, but when I look at how bad they are against the run in many situations, I feel like that's not a one-player fix, but we'll see.
I mean, they do... it's good that you looked up the stack boxes, because I think it would be tempting to just attribute it to the fact that they do play with so many light boxes, but it's not just that, as you pointed out.
No, they are among the worst in the league with a loaded box and with a light box.
Do you think the Titans will give them trouble?
I thought the Eagles had the Colts next.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday is going to give them all they want. Let's go, Jeff.
If Jeff beats the Eagles.
And we're all getting hired.
One more quick note. Dallas Goedert was injured in this game. I think he's going to miss a few weeks, possibly. So that's not insignificant. He's pretty, you know, obviously very important to that offense, and also drives the nail in my fantasy season forever. So in case anyone was wondering, it's over.
Most importantly.
All right. Let's take a quick break, come back, and talk about some other teams. All right, people, we are brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odds boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 years or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right. Winners and wuss. We've got some good ones. I'll go first. My winner is Kirk Cousins. Not because I think Kirk Cousins is playing great football right now, but because Kirk Cousins figured out that he can build the entire plane out of F it, Justin down there somewhere. So he's not playing. He did not play very well in the Bills game, actually, Cousins, for a lot of it. But the prior week, I think maybe we talked about in this podcast when the Vikings beat the aforementioned Commies, Manders. Anyways. Cousins like turned up the aggression big time. His average depth of target was up. He was throwing 50-50 balls. And you remember he got picked on one. And I remember watching that and thinking to myself, please don't stop throwing these. Just, I understand that didn't work out, but I don't retreat into your conservative shell. So I was delighted to see in this Bills game that he was throwing to Justin Jefferson with no regard for the human life around him. NGS put this out. Justin Jefferson had 16 targets. He was only open, like 3 yards of separation, on one of those 16 targets. And it did not matter because Kirk Cousins now completely trusts him. And that is, if there is a case for the Minnesota Vikings being, you know, a team that can not only make it to the playoffs, obviously they will, but win playoff games, it's that. It's Justin Jefferson taking over, and that's a realistic case.
Justin Jefferson's greatness overshadowed Dalvin Cook's greatness also. Dalvin Cook was awesome in this game, too. He ripped off a monster run. I feel like, was it overtime when he had a bunch of big runs in a row? Like, it's the case for this team is the talent around Kirk Cousins, including the offensive line, which has been really good for large parts of this season. I think they had, did Darisaw get injured?
I think he did. I was just about to check that before we started because that's a big
concern. Yeah. But aside from that, that's their recipe. It's sometimes, Kurt, you're going to have to put it up there, and they're going to need Dalvin Cook to break off some big plays every now and then. That's really encouraging for this team in an NFC that is wide open, as we've been saying every week. The defensive side of the ball has much more holes, but they have pass rushers you can count on, and they have an ageless cornerback that just showed up and had a two red zone interception game, and Patrick Peterson. If he can replicate that, then they're going to be good going forward. So, yeah, they deserve some celebration. We've all been disrespecting them. How are Vikings fans, since we were talking about the fans, are
they're
Vikings
mad at
fans
me
walking
right now? Oh, because I said on first take that if they played the Bills again, the Bills would win.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
You know, Bill Barnwell had this tweet. Sorry if I've already mentioned it here, where he was talking about the Packers. He was like, what are they good at, right? Like, or what are they great at? And I think in a very even NFC, NFL, the fact that the Vikings have things that they're actually great at, Justin Jefferson, I would say, you know, Za'Darius Smith, the pass rush can be great. Patrick Peterson has had a nice bounce back season, which has been cool, but for the most part, you know, it's not a great secondary. This is why I keep the Justin Kirk connection will win them football games. Let me ask you this, actually, coming off a conversation about the Eagles, because the Eagles stomped them earlier in the season. I think if the Vikings played again, they would have a pretty different game plan. But the other thing I remember from that stomping, and you remember this, is the Eagles like surprised everyone by playing a ton of man coverage. And Darius Slay did a great job of covering Jefferson, but I wonder if they played again, if Kirk would be like, F it, I don't care. Yeah. Like, if he would target him regardless, and maybe that would be a, you know, something that could push them over the edge.
Darius Slay is so good, and he also seems so kind. Like, I was watching him play yesterday, and he, like, caught TJ McLaurin in the air after he jumped for a ball and, like, placed him gently on the ground. I was like, I like Darius Slay. He's an outstanding player, and he just appears to be a sweetheart, but they are still much better than the Vikings.
Yeah, Darius Slay is, like, way better than the Bills backups, who actually did a decent job of coverage in this game, but it didn't matter, and the whole Bills secondary was hurt. I also think, though, that the Vikings could run it on Philadelphia. to our earlier discussion.
They got down early the last time they played or something. I don't know, because I don't remember Dalvin Cook having the type of impact in that game that I think he's capable of having.
Yeah, it was a bunch of things that went wrong for them, but and on the other side of the ball, Jalen Hurts, they just simply didn't have an answer for the Eagles. Which is, I think, the thing with the Vikings is that I still think the defense is pretty profoundly average. But
I mean, I guess there's an argument also for Kevin O'Connell. Like, is his first big game that Monday night? He could be maturing. That whole staff could be getting better and developing. So, I mean, they'll be a different team by then. I don't feel like the Eagles are getting worse. even if the Vikings are getting better, they still aren't my fave.
It's interesting that you mentioned about O'Connell, because I've been paying attention to what his pressers after obviously they've been winning a lot, but even so, he's been pretty open about being surprised by, like, I remember when they played the Dolphins, with Skylar Thompson and Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, he talked about how he didn't expect the Dolphins, I believe, to play as much base defense as they did. And he's been, I've noticed this is kind of a trend with him, where after games, he'll talk a little bit about some of the adjustments that they had to make on the fly. And so, to your point, I do think it's entirely possible that at the end of the season, not only is this Vikings team better, but he's better at being a head coach, or he's like learned things along the way. So don't be mad at me, Vikings fans. I said something nice.
That's the thing about like football that we don't cover nearly as much because it's boring. But of all of our major sports, like game plan and strategy matters in football so much more than anything else. And we always boil it down to like who played well, who played poorly. We don't always know why or how. And I know in games that I played in where there was a surprise outcome, where like my team surprisingly won or we surprisingly lost, the difference is always some scheme thing that someone had a wrinkle that we weren't expecting, or we had a wrinkle that they weren't expecting, and it's too late to adjust to it. So coaching it's not fun to talk about. We can't sit here and break down the disguises of different teams and the strategy and how they're building plays off of other plays, but it matters, and Kevin O'Connell's going to be better at that, hopefully, presumably, by the end of the season.
And they've added you're already seeing the impact of T.J. Hockenson, not just on the passing game, but I noticed in this game that they had multiple tight ends on the field for some of their explosive runs, but it wasn't T.J. Hockenson blocking. It was tight ends whose names escape me now. but it does feel like this is an offense that is somewhat dynamic, because, you know, that's not a Rams thing at all, obviously. They came out with basically the Rams offense, you know, almost entirely 11 personnel. So you are seeing some adjustments as the year goes along. I think you'll see them on defense as well. So I think there's a case for the Vikings being better in December than they were, and which is crazy because they're 8-1, so they're in the catbird seat.
I mean, we saw it with the Eagles get better towards the end of the year with their rookie coach last year, so it's reasonable to expect.
Yeah,
the
remember
same
when
thing
like they didn't
the
run that much at the beginning of the year?
Of a sudden, they're like, "Hey, let's run it."
Who's your woof?
My woof is the Raiders. It's a easy way for me to sneak in a winner in my guy Jeff Saturday. I'm so happy for him. I got drunk after that game. Like, I won the Super Bowl. It was outstanding. I talked to him the next morning. Just happy for that guy. But anyway, the wolf of all of this is, one, losing to Jeff is an embarrassing thing. I think what's his name? Davis, the owner of the team, came out today and gave like a vote of confidence to McDaniels.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, we all know that ain't good. when the owner's out here giving you votes of confidence, that is a real bad sign. The idea that he need to. And they lost in the most fundamental football ways, which, again, is so perfect for Jeff. Because I've known Jeff for a long time and always worked with Jeff, and all he talks about is running the ball and stopping the run. He is just an old-school football man. And in this game, they ran the out of the ball, and the Raiders could not stop the run or effectively run. And it was quite nice for me, at least, for the final play, the deciding play of the game, to be Gilmore breaking up a pass, because cornerbacks are going to save you every time.
They're going to run so much against him. I don't know if it's going to work, but he is going to just hit that over and over. I think it was, I forgot who, I think it maybe Ben Solak was like, you know, like the, like, happy for Saturday, but like going back to Matt Ryan is like going to be why they win games. which I, you know, as a longtime Matt Ryan defender, I was thrilled to see my boy back in the saddle doing what he can do, which is being a point guard, getting that ball out quick. I actually think that's a pretty good formula against the Eagles, too. We'll talk about that later more in depth. But the Raiders, what do you think's worse, a vote of confidence or a players-only meeting?
That's a bigger kiss of death. Vote of confidence. Vote of confidence. Yeah, from the owner? Yeah. He's a decision maker. Vote of confidence is definitely a kiss of death. Players-only meeting always comes before the vote of confidence. Closed-door meeting, which they've had a few of those, is bad. At the beginning of the year, weren't they having, like, closed-door meetings after, well, like, week three?
Yeah. The closed-door meeting raises the question of, like, how many meetings are with open doors?
I mean, so, like, once you get in this business, I think you might think about the terminology a little differently and, like, how the information got to someone. So, reporting that you had a closed door meeting, who would report that and why would they report it that way? You know, like who would leak that and why would they leak that? And the reason why that comes to mind is like, that's only the owner. The only reason why that's out is like the owner. And I don't know anything. I'm just saying speculation wise, you think like, I don't know, a film guy's walking around like, hey, this is a closed door meeting around here. No, no one calls them closed door meetings unless it's like somebody who's in charge. And they, that just suggests to me that there is a lack of confidence. And then the public vote of confidence. Ooh,
Derek Carr himself was like, dudes aren't trying, which that was a lot. And actually, I think truly makes me wonder if Derek Carr is going to be there next year.
No chance. No chance. He'll be. I mean, they got a high draft pick. He's out of there. His contract makes it pretty easy to move on from. I think it's like $6 million in dead cap money. He gone.
Is he going to be the next Manders quarterback? I could see that.
Probably. That he feels, could be the next.
Like a, Colts, though, they got to draft a guy. They can't keep.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts, yeah, okay.
But the thing that's frustrating about the Raiders generally is that there's like so many things wrong with them that whenever I get asked to talk about them, I'm just making this very solipsistic. I'm like, the question is always like, what's wrong with the Raiders? And I'm like, how long do you have? This is the worst defense in the NFL by a lot of metrics. That was somewhat predictable with the pass defense, but we thought that the pass rush would be good enough to compensate for it. They're still, you know, wiping the slate clean of all those bad draft picks in recent years, obviously. They just released Jonathan Abram. You know, they've been so many of those early round picks are gone. The offensive line still stinks. The big three of the skill players barely played together this year. So I think that has to be considered. But even when they did play together, it didn't look that great. Derek Carr has regressed. I mean, you know, Derek Carr is a quarterback who in a good situation is going to be like a, you know, top 10 to 15. He is the 10 to 15 guy. In a bad situation, things compound. Josh McDaniels, I feel like the offensive system has not translated from New England at all. They're blowing leads. There's penalties. Those are things that you tend to put at the foot of the head coach. And they were not supposed to be rebuilding. And I think that's the biggest frustration of all of this is like, it's not like the Bears, or, you know, like it's not a team where you can say, well, they're losing games. Like they weren't supposed to be bad. This was not supposed to be. They were in the playoffs.
You don't go all in and get Devontae Adams if you think that you're good. Like this was a team that was gonna like thought they would make a run this year. It was embarrassing. I was just looking at the stats from the game and something jumps out to me. Man, I said last week I think that I don't think Jeff has much to do with game planning or like what we think of as coaching. I was clearly wrong as I'm looking at these stats now because the Raiders had a 62.5 pass rush win rate and a 6.7 pressure rate. So that is Jeff Saturday. Yo, like, you know what? We are not putting any pressure on our offensive line. Get it out quickly. How could you win that much and not get any pressure? Because that's you're like, we're going to run the ball and you're going to throw it fast. We don't want our linemen out there on islands.
Matt Ryan's time to throw was ridiculous in this one. Yeah, that should be the formula. I am so glad it wasn't Jeff being like, I'm back in the offensive line. We're going to exert our will. And, you know, he sees it for what it is. And he game planned. Yeah. I mean, him and Parks Frazier.
I told you last week and you laughed at me that Jim Irsay, quality decision maker.
Who you crapping? He said on Twitter. I've never heard that combination of words in my life.
Oh, the fact that I could understand getting carried away while you're emotionally yelling. He texted, he typed that out and looked at it. I was like, oh yeah, crapping. Crapping is what I'm going. Who you crapping?
Who you crapping? Send. I love it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My woof is Josh Allen, and I have mixed feelings about this because, like, he was better than Kirk Cousins in this game. That, I mean, this is the crazy thing about this game is, like, Josh Allen, with his hurt, sprained UCL or, you know, hurt UCL, he balled out for most of this game. Yep. He was doing everything Josh Allen does. He was making crazy throws. He was running around. And then the red zone decision making yet again reared its ugly head. And that's why he's my woof, because I find it so perplexing, Dominique, because for basically, he just like didn't do that for like a year.
So, just one year.
So like, you know, Josh Allen's trajectory of improvement has been interesting because it wasn't like all at once. There were like little things. He was building and building and he got more accurate. Right. And then the final piece was you saw him almost like, if there was like a bar chart of YOLO moments for Josh Allen, it starts here and it's like slowly, 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 slowly going down. And then it kind of dropped. And then for like, you know, like many games, it was just gone. Yeah. It was just gone. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's like, broop, 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 broop. Like, and I don't understand. I mean, they suck in the red zone. They can't run the football. Maybe he just feels like he has to do too much. Maybe he has too much faith in his own incredible throwing, alien throwing ability. But it is at a point now where it's costing them games.
He is who he is, guys. Like, this is the So this is an interesting part of the conversation around Josh Allen that I've been having today is the argument that I've been hearing from like Tannenbaum and Mike Greenberg and people like that is you just got to coach that out of him. You just got to coach it out of him. It's like Josh Allen made the greatest leap in a single player's talent in the history of NFL football. And you're expecting him to do it again? Like, let's also take into consideration that this is as good as he's going to get. And that's fine. It's freaking
very
great.
Very good.
It's freaking great. And also, I feel that this, you don't get like the cloud silver lining thing, like two sides of a coin. Like all those things are true for everyone except for peak Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Like you're not going to get the good Josh Allen without living with some of the bad. And every player has weaknesses. Every team has weaknesses. Josh Allen's weakness is sometimes his Superman plays are going to cost you. Hmm. It's like if you ask Superman to come save you from invading aliens, some buildings are going to get crushed. There will, like, it's going to happen. He going to step on a couple, like, pedestrians who don't deserve it. But you know what? At the end of the day, Superman going to get these damn aliens off our planet. So, like, get off of Superman's back. What?
Could you argue that he does, that the thing that Ken Dorsey could do is find ways where he doesn't feel as much pressure to be Superman? I mean,
I don't know how you do that yeah. when the offense is built around him being Superman.
Well, that's the problem. And I think that's what's my my fundamental issue with the Bills right now. It's, I mean, people criticize them for their unwillingness to run the football, but they can't.
Yeah.
The offensive line, they were, you know, they run into like more light boxes than probably any team in the NFL for the very obvious reasons. It does not matter. And it, they get no push. No push half the time. And so all I feel like all you'd be doing is just setting up more third and longs for Josh Allen to go crazy and feel pressure to be Superman again.
That's the thing.
They traded for Hines, which is great, and maybe they can be more creative in terms of like horizontal runs with him and like trying to use that and sort of get a better screen game. But the issue right now is with the inside of this offensive line, and there's no fix for that.
Yeah, there's no fix for it, and I don't think we should be trying to fix it because I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah,
I think you take the good with the bad. It's just I don't know how else to explain it. Is there's going to be some luck and randomness in all of these games, and every team is going to have a weakness. There's a way for every team to lose. The way that you're going to lose, and again, every team has this. It's just different for different teams. Bills fans. Though, if your team does not make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, that means somewhere along the way, Josh Allen threw some really dumb interceptions, or he tried to run somebody over when he should have slid and he's going to fumble,
or he tried
to tackle somebody and try to punch the ball out with your injured elbow when you shouldn't have. Like, that's what it's going to be, Bills fans. That's what it's going to be. So do not get mad at Superman if he causes a little bit of damage to the buildings. That's all.
I would give anything to be like strap a GoPro onto Harrison Smith the moment when Josh Allen broke the pocket and he was rumbling. He only rumbles. He doesn't run. He doesn't scoot. He rumbles. That is the only verb I will use to describe his rushing style. And you could see Harrison, who's like, what, like 35 at least, right? Yeah. Like, oh, squaring up. And I was like, no. And he just, you know, trucks him. And it's just like, yeah, that's who this dude is. I don't think they're fine because I think there are issues with this team and there are players that are obviously not going to get Micah Hyde back. But it is very important to remember they're like half of the defense has been injured in these losses. And again, you play with the hand you're dealt, but they right now have been dealt a pretty difficult hand on that side of the football too. All right, what's your final winner?
Good question. Let's see what I text. Oh. The Bucks is who I made the winner. We're going way back. It feels like so long ago to the early morning Germany game when they went across the pond and got a dub. They stopped the run. They played defense. That's what this game was about to me. They played defense. Their offense played a little bit better. Julio Jones flashed back for a hot second. Leonard Fournette is not a quarterback. As we learned from his throw, and Tom Brady also is not an athlete, which we are. I could have told y'all that. Like, we've seen Tom Brady try to catch footballs before. It's never worked out well. I'm not sure
why they keep doing it.
Yeah,
what Byron was out there thinking. No, I know why they did it, because the first time they did it, he was open.
Yeah, I don't care. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. But yeah, I mean, I think we've been on them all year long because they've been disappointing and like wildly. Inconsistent. This might be a classic Foxworth fake winner because I'm not.
No.
I think they're in the division. I think if we look at what they've been for most of the year, what we saw in this recent game feels more like an aberration than the rest of what we've seen. The talent is there. Maybe they're turning some sort of corner, and they are so lucky they're in a crappy division.
Yeah, that's because
the Packers are, their season's over in large part because the Vikings have only lost once. The Bucks are in the lead in their crappy division.
I mean, the thing about the Bucks is like it's not there's been injuries, but it's not a personnel problem. They have talent on both sides of the football. Whereas I think with Green Bay, especially offensively, there was who's going to do this, right? And I don't know, maybe it's Christian Watson, but this has always been a good defense. I do think losing Shaq Barrett is huge. It wasn't an issue in this game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're very talented on that side of the ball. And they even haven't been, I know that they've given up, there's been some bad running games or whatever, but the defense was not really the issue for most of the year. It was the offense. And right. I think if you're a Bucks fan, you walk away from this game feeling better about a number of things. One, I think you saw the impact of going to Rashad White in the run game. Now, I think Seattle's run defense is pretty sus, but that's a move they should have made, you know, before. Turned up play action, which we've been begging for with Tom Brady. Of course, he was deadly off of it. And in doing so, he looked the most comfortable he's been this entire season. Now, some of that is the Seahawks pass rush basically being non-existent. But before this game, anything outside of quick game, meaning when Tom Brady held onto the ball for over 2.5 seconds, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. QBR worse than Russell Wilson, worse than Carson Wentz, worse than Andy Dalton, my guy. In this game, when he held onto the ball for more than 2.5 seconds, he completed 80% of his passes and had a QBR of like 98. And I think that was the single biggest thing holding back this offense is basically anytime Tom Brady had to hold on the football, he looked deeply uncomfortable. And I think the nature of their wide receiving group is such that they do need a little bit of time for routes to develop. And you saw that he had it in this game. And I do think that, look, they're going to face better pass rushes, but I do think that that can continue. They have the capability to be that good.
Yeah. They're protecting their offensive line with the play action, buying them a little bit time. They're buying their receivers a little bit more time to get down the field. I think while we accept that effective running game is not going to impact the play action, it will impact the down and distance on certain situations, which will impact the amount of plays that you can call, which I think does help. It's not even that you call a bunch of different plays, but it forces the defense to be aware of a bunch of different stuff. If you got to cover 9 and deeper, it's a different defense. It's a different mindset. If you're down to 3rd and 4, and that means you got to cover everything from 5 to 12, it stretches your defense a little bit more thin, and it's going to err on the side of a veteran quarterback like Tom Brady as long as you can keep him upright. And again, if you are in 3rd and 4, you can still threaten that there's going to be a run. So the play action is still in play. So, yeah, it changes things.
That's probably like the best explanation of how having a good run game actually can help play action.
That's why you have me on once a week, because I'll say one thing and it's funny.
Set up the run, or you gotta run the ball, set up play action.
Jeff Saturday. I just like saying Jeff Saturday.
I know. You're so happy for him.
I am. I mean, I don't know. It's so few times in life when something incredibly outrageously cool happens to somebody you genuinely care about. Like, when's the last time that somebody you really care about, something like, won the damn lottery? That's what this feels like to me. My man won the fucking lottery.
It feels like what we talked about on Debatable. You guys can check out that podcast, wherever you get your pods, about how it felt like a sports movie. Like, Jeff Saturday felt like the guy who was a high school football star who got, you know, who's maybe working in the town and gets called in to coach the team. And Josh McDaniels is the evil coach from the rich school, and nobody believes in him.
Jeff and Josh were high school rivals.
Yes.
And he went to the rich fancy school, and Jeff had to quit playing midway through to take care of his family and get a job. And he never got to live out his dreams, but that's all right. Something went wrong and he got to head coach the team, and now he's
in returning to his high school, he reunited with his old high school flame, who's now the nurse of that high school, and they rekindled it, even though she was dating Josh McDaniels, maybe, in the movie.
I like that this is definitely a 90s sports movie. Because
what was the title I came up with?
I forgot. I don't know.
Saturday Night Lights.
That's what it was. That was great. Let's make that.
Anyways, go Jeff. We're happy for you. All right, Dominique. I'll see you. So let me actually... Any chance the Colts pull this off against Philly to kind of put a bow on how we started this?
I was the only one in like the ESPN thing that picked the Colts to win, and I was completely open about it being my bias that was like, I don't care. I refuse to be rooting against my guy. But going against the Eagles is real hard. He's going to cover. He'll cover for sure. Thank you for that. Thank you for that exit ramp. My guy's going to cover for sure.
All right. We'll see what happens. See you next week.